Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. How are you doing? I am your Chief Profitability Officer, your Sales and Profit Evangelist, if you will. E3C stands for Entrepreneurship, Empowerment, and Evolution, and the C stands for Connect, Collaborate, Create. And what we do is show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. Thank you for listening in. If you want to call in, you can call 646-716-7099. Again, that phone number is 646. That's right, you got to pay for it. 646-716-7099. Our topic today is the keys to attracting and selecting star performers with our guest, Jeff Fox. A couple questions I want to ask. Actually, I got a lot of questions, but one is, are employees an asset or a liability? Inquiring minds want to know. How do you select good people? You know, what's the keys to that? And what industries are suffering? In challenging times, has an impact recruitment and retention? You might be able to hire them, but can you keep them? What is your system for human resources? So let me introduce Jeff Fox. Jeff Fox is president of Real World Presentations. He's also executive vice president of Smith James and also a vice president for the Mullings Group. And after military college, Gordon Military College, and a tour of duty as an MP in Okinawa, Jeff has spent 20 years in the world of insurance, financial services, and half has been at the office level. That means he was in charge. He spent 15 years in professional and executive recruiting, and he's currently, as I said, with the executive firm of Smith James Group. Also, as Real World Presentations, he's founder of, he's offering not 10, 15, but 25 educational seminars for businesses, associations, and learning institutions. So we've got Jeff Fox on the line talking about HR and attracting good people. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ken. After knowing you so long, it's a real pleasure to be on your show.
Okay. So let me start off with one question, and I actually put this in my quizzes. Are employees assets or liabilities?
Oh, they're definitely an asset. Your more successful companies are a testimony to that.
Okay, so these are in some ways challenging times. How does selecting the right employees impact recruitment and retention? So you may be able to find them maybe, but how do you keep them? But what's the impact of these challenging times? What do we need to do?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think the best way to get everybody's attention on this whole subject matter is quoting Richard Beatty, who's the author of Interviewing and Selecting High Performers, and he emphasizes how management is presented with few opportunities to exert greater impact on business strategy or organizational results than in the selection of employees. He actually feels that poor hiring in the selection process can impact costs alone by 25% to 50%, which means by hiring only top performers, you stand to save 25% to 50%. I know Bill Gates feels like it's more than 100%.
So your employees are keys to the bottom line of your business and the success of your business.
Absolutely, and it emphasizes the need then to be sure you have the proper things in place to not only attract them, but help sell them during the selection process while you're determining whether or not they're a fit for your organization, and then those same good qualities in your firm are what help retain your employees too.
Okay, I'm a systems guy. I believe in building systems that allow you to focus and work on your business instead of in your business. And if you don't have systems, you'll be working in your business forever, and that'd be very productive or profitable. Mm-hmm. So, and I get this from the E-Myth, Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth. So how do you create a human resource system for your business? What are the components?
Well, why don't I share just a few facts up front that'll set the stage to answer that, okay?
Okay, good. I like that.
Okay, because I believe from my reading and what the experts say and the statistics that are out there, a lot of this is really hitting the small businessman right between the eyes, because 62% of the businesses out there only have 1 to 4 employees, mm-hmm. where only 2% have over 100. The current job market, people find their job security now in their skill mm-hmm. rather than their employer. Okay. And a person's knowledge is what's of value to a company now, even more so sometimes than capital. You know, we're dealing with the X generation. They want to retire at age 45 to 55, and they'll probably only be in the same job 1 to 2 years with the same employer for 3 to 4 years, and will actually take certain positions just in an effort to improve on the appearance of their resumes. I mean, that's
in the skills. Wow, exactly. Times have really changed since you and I started business.
I know it. Okay. But on the good news side, there are 50% more jobs now out there than there were 10 years ago. There are more free agents out there at the CEO and CIO levels. I'm sure you've seen this. And, another thing you need to realize as an employer, if the competition isn't knocking on your door, the doors of your employees, something's wrong. It means nobody wants them. Now, if every time there's a knock at their door, they leave, then you've got even a bigger problem, because retraining and turnover is extremely expensive, and I'll address that a little later. But the key here is if the company is created to provide a pool of money from which the owners just intend to fish out of, and nothing I'm going to say here today is going to make any difference in the turnover. But by taking care of your employees and believing and behaving as though they are really your most important asset, that's where you're going to find the financial success of the growth and value of your company. You know, the employee's loyalty is not unlike respect. You know, both really are things that need to be earned. And the corporate culture of a company is dictated from the top down. So if you look at the personality of the owner of the business, you're pretty much going to see how that permeates throughout the whole company.
Really?
In setting up an HR operation that's truly helpful and functional, and not just somebody that waves the employee handbook and policies and procedures in front of everybody's noses, they really need to first set up your organization so that it's attracting people. In order to stop the bleeding of turnover, you should first get everything in place where you would attract the top employees that are out there. Obviously, there are the classified ads, the job postings, and these are often a very common approach to attracting people now. That can work with certain positions and be very successful. However, also realize you are attracting the people that are either out of work or unhappy at work. Oftentimes, this is not your best approach when you're dealing with your management and leadership ranks as far as filling them. That is where referrals and networking always work the best. It's a known fact. You should also, all your hiring managers should have their hat on to always be recruiting, whether they're at a association meeting or in their neighborhood or just anything where they feel like they may be able to network and see who's out there. You should always be recruiting.
Really, even though there's not a need, but always look out for good people and maybe find a need?
Okay. Yeah, well, for those of you that play pool, you know that you should always be looking 3 shots ahead, not just the ball you're zeroing in on. And the same applies to recruiting. I know in my past, the larger the direct report responsibilities I had coming to me, the more I made sure I knew who I would go after in the event I had a either by design turnover or an unexpected turnover. You want to be sure that you're ready to pull the trigger on a plan and have backups in mind as to where you would go and not wait to the last minute when everything, that's when you end up facing crisis management and your employees pick up on that. It just doesn't go over very well. But, you know, things as far as getting your ducks in a row to begin with, you want to be sure that your benefits are at least in line with what your competition is offering and preferably better. So you got to know what your competition's offering. You know, sign-on bonuses are still something out there that can attract people more so than just sticking it into a salary. And it also helps you not kind of get messed up with your salary throughout your whole organization where you bring a new person in, they're making more than everybody else.
It sounds like NBA and NFL.
You bet. And then in this day and age, you know, technology is changing so rapidly. Having the latest technology is important, and especially if you're trying to attract a CIO or anybody within an IT department. You know, if you have old technology, you're not going to interest them in coming in the first place, much less retaining them. Even if they come on board to make a few more bucks, they'll be out of there from boredom dealing with old technology. But
I didn't think about it. I think about that you need to have great benefits to attract people, but I didn't think about technology, having technology in your company to attract.
Well, it changes, by the year, certainly by every 2 years. In fact, I think even the sellers of equipment indicate that you shouldn't think of having an IT item, a piece of hardware, for more than 2 to 3 years. So, but then you kind of get into being sure you have a formal, you know, within your HR operation, even if as the owner you wear that hat too, of selecting people. And here's where you got to be very careful you're not pushed by the need to fill a position to a point where you overlook the importance of hiring the proper people, like I mentioned in Richard Beatty's quote earlier. I mean, I'm sure everybody out there has made a bad hire and knows the agony of such a mistake and the tremendous impact it can have on loss of time, revenue, overall employee morale. You know, managers have the responsibility not to hire marginal performers. They owe that to their other employees. So don't let you know, the work falling off your desk necessarily dictate your rapid move in a poor hire.
Well, how do you do that? How do you select or stay away from selecting marginal employees? Because everybody writes a great resume, maybe not. But how do you do that?
Well, you know, getting all these resumes in are all well and good. But the first thing I would do, depending on if you're building an organization or you just recently had a turnover or you're going to create a quality turnover, is hire your senior people first if you do have other openings underneath that. You want them to have a part in the hiring process. They may very well bring someone along from their old team or someone they know that is already a proven person, a commodity that is outstanding. Then I can't overemphasize the importance of reference and background checks. Now, obviously, there's all kinds of skill set testing, personality testing, assessment testing. That's very popular. There's all kinds of assessments out there. But make no mistake, nothing is going to comfort you more so in a hire than having had a quality reference check interview with their former supervisors and managers.
Okay.
And then
you get the employees and the supervisors involved in the hiring process, and you then get reference checks from past. And when you do reference checks, there's a law that says they can't say yea or nay to the, they can't give an opinion, right?
Well, I don't believe it's so much a law as much as they tend to put it into their employment, handbook, policies and procedures. They don't want managers saying anything to the name, rank, and serial number.
Right.
But
how do you get around that, though?
Well, what has been successful for us in the past is by letting your candidate know that you're going to be approaching the references they've shared. Mm-hmm. And then they should first approach those references and say, listen, this opportunity means a lot to me and a lot to my company. You know, whatever you can say that might help position me, that's the truth, and securing this position, I'd really appreciate it. Now, then when we call, they've already had this conversation with the candidate to where we let them know that it's being kept in strictest confidence. And, you know, the way I look at it, you know, there's the old saying, all is fair in love and war. Well, when it comes to landing a position to support yourself and your family, I put that at the top of the list. And I'll be darned if I'm going to stand in the way of somebody securing a good opportunity and getting ahead in their life, provided if I'm the one that's giving the reference, I'm not giving away any trade secrets of our firm. And generally, you'll find that these people will open up enough to share with you that which you need to know.
Okay.
So.
Well, I have another question that you mentioned something that was interesting, and I wanted to ask that. Is it, what's better? Should a company hire people like the boss, just like the personality, or do they hire for the skill?
Well, I would go with the soft skills. In fact, that, you know, was part of my presentation here today. I was going to mention how, you know, the technical, as long as the satisfactory amount of technical skill is there for the position and matching up the resume with the job duties, at best, I would say that's 50% of the decision process. By far, the other 50% is more important as far as will they fit into the culture of the company, the culture mm-hmm. of the department, and will they be able to respond and interact with their hiring manager? These are all things that we routinely do with our services, but it is often overlooked by you know, just individuals at companies that are you know, maybe under the gun to get somebody in there, and they just you know, they may have doctorate degrees and master's degrees and what have you coming out the gazoo, but oftentimes people like that might not be able to, if you're putting them in a sales position, be able to sell their way out of a paper bag. So, you know, here's where you want to really be sure that you're, you know, take them out to lunch or dinner, be sure they've got, you know, good habits if they're going to be taking your customers and clients out, and being sure that there's that real camaraderie of what's going to fit in to your company.
So, yeah, so you're finding out that some of the – you hire for the skills, but, in fact, some of the other attributes like motivation, communication, maybe leadership, initiative, those things are as important.
If not more so, because they're things you really can't train an adult in. They are what they are by the time
you're – You can't teach your old dog new tricks.
There you go. So I would always lean towards whether or not the person seems like the type that's going to fit into the overall organization, and not worry too much whether or not they're 100% up on your product or service. That could be easily trained and picked up on, unless you're going to be a brain surgeon and you're moving over from being a mechanic. I don't know.
Yeah, so we talked about benefits, hiring the right people, technology. What are the other key elements of an HR system for your business?
Well, I would always be sure you've got a handle on what your turnover costs are. If mm-hmm. you're an HR person, invariably, when you're trying to get money to train people and keep them motivated and send them to conventions or conferences or training sessions, you might run into some problems getting that authorized. But if you have a handle on what the turnover cost is per position in your company, you can show where the money will come from by the savings and hiring the right people. The direct costs are pretty obvious. I mean, you got severance pay and benefits, outplacement costs possibly, management interview time, search firm fees and expenses that could run 25 to 33%, candidate travel expense, moving expenses, classified ad expense, relocation. Those can actually total 2 to 3 times the position's annual compensation. But what too often is overlooked is the indirect costs, and that's when you get in the loss of productivity, especially if it's a sales position. the poor decisions that are made by the terminated employee or the terminated manager. You know, it can affect the morale of subordinates. It can give you a poor reputation in the community if this thing gets out to the news media. You know, increased difficulty in just recruiting because of that poor reputation. The higher unemployment insurance costs, litigation, all this can add up to 5 to 10 times what the annual salary had been. So, again, it emphasizes the need to not only be sure you're bringing the right people in, but that you have a well-oiled operation that's going to retain them and that you're staying on top of things so that you don't have unexpected and unwanted turnover.
That sounds interesting. You mentioned sometimes employees don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know when to let somebody go?
That's a great question, and it's primarily great because most of our listeners are probably in that 64-62% that have very few employees. When you have a small company, and to me small is probably 30, 40 or less, anything you do affecting employees, hiring, firing, discipline, anything, promoting, is like throwing a boulder in a little puddle.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike a big, huge company, which I've worked for both, whatever you do is like really kind of throwing a pebble in the ocean. The ripples just aren't as big. So,
right.
You know, you have to be aware of this when you're doing things. So you want to be sure that you're pulling the trigger on the tough decisions, and the smaller you are, the quicker you should pull that trigger. A larger company can maybe carry a marginal performer longer. They may be able to move them around. I mean, you have a lot more flexibility with larger, you know, the more you're over, the more flexibility you have to transfer people around, make changes, da-da-da. Small company, not so.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, that person is filling an exact position. There's no place else for them to go. And all the more reason that you need to pull the trigger on a poor hire quickly, of course, following all the proper procedures that lead up to that. Unfortunately, because everyone has such a big heart, it seems like, you know, with the smaller companies and tends to be more caring and forgiving in a smaller company, they'll allow something to go on, a poor performer to continue, and in some cases to the point it'll drag the company down completely. So small business owners, take heed, you know, make the tough decisions. Don't be too worried about what your other employees feel. Yes, they'll be emotionally affected, but they also count on you to make those tough decisions.
How much time do you give a poor performer? You know, a month, 60
well,
days?
Well, I think it's pretty standard, you know, that everybody has, you know, like a 90-day routine probationary period, and then it might go to 6 months, then it might go to a year. The key is to really take those probationary periods seriously. And I would also put in there that if after a 90-day review, that let's say that it's all kind of put into writing, you know, here's how we feel, and maybe there's some constructive criticism to all that, or maybe you're even putting them on probation, I would then state in that probation letter that if any time in the future your performance reverts back, it will not allow you to, you know, be considered for probation again. Because far too often, you know, you go in and you raise a little cane with an employee to shape up, or they might have to ship out. So they'll shape up for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and then all of a sudden they slack off again. Well, you don't want that employee thinking that they can get reloaded on another 6 month or probationary period. It's going to be the door.
Wow. Okay. We're quickly running out of time. I think we've got less than 5 minutes to go. So, man, I've got so many other questions I want to ask you. Let me ask you a question. What is some question that you wish your clients would ask you in terms of hiring star performers? What is something that
Well, I would say with any quality, you know, outsourced recruiting firm, that the client be patient enough to make a decision based on more than the reviewing of just one or two candidates. Yes, you can kind of fall in love sometimes with the first one that you talk to, but you should always make your decision from having screened 3 to 5 candidates. I know that with Smith James Group, we'll have a database of anywhere from 50 to over 100 candidates that we screen down to background checking, developing, you name it, to where we only present the top 4 or 5 so that they're right on the money. Yes, that can take a little time, but we generally fill these positions in 45 days or less, and I can assure you that's a very short period of time in relationship to making a poor hire.
Wow. And let's talk about Smith James and the Mullen Group. First of all, what is Smith James? You're an executive vice president.
Yes, well, we are a retained search firm, but we are the originators of billing by the hour rather than the expensive flat fee approach. And as a result, it drives our clients' average cost per hire way down. Most of our work is all over the country. Some of it's international in scope. We've had this model since 89. And although we're a small boutique firm, we are very selective in the clients we work with, simply because you cannot hire the best of the best unless you're working for outstanding companies in the first place. The Mullen Group Corporation provides outstanding outplacement services, as well as a superior professional and executive coaching and training. Although local to the Atlanta area, they have a reach and scope throughout the whole country, and that's why I represent them too. I think you've already mentioned Real World Presentations has I addressed 25 different topics, anywhere from sales to networking to professional speaking and a lot of HR issues. Should I share a telephone number or something?
Yeah, definitely. What's your contact information?
The best way to contact me would just be by phone, 770-667-0212, extension 230, or by email, which is the letter J as in Jeff, FOX, at Smith James. That's all one word with an S, smithjames.com.
All right, then. And you have a couple websites. Would you like to share the websites?
Yes, the Smith James Group website is www.smithjames.com. And the Mullen Group website is www.mullen.com. And then my speaking business website is, and I don't look at it that often to where I've got to look at it myself here.
You never call yourself, I get that.
Yeah, I don't call myself too often. But that one is, let's see.
That's
well, they forgot to put it on my, oh, here it is, yeah. A-C-B-I-N, that's A. C, I'm sorry, ACIBN at, boy, I'm really screwing this up, pardon my friend. Okay. All right. It's www.acibn.net/AYS/JEFF-FOX. And I can do that much better when I have my glasses on.
Yeah, no, it's IBN.com?
Yes, ACIBN.net.
.net.
/AYS/Jeff-Fox.
Okay, all right. And so as we conclude, what do you want our listeners to learn and about hiring, attracting star performers?
Well, remember that the definition of insanity is to do the same things over and over and expect different results. So the first thing that has to change is generally the owner, okay? I do have a number of books that address these things I've been speaking towards today. If anyone wants to contact me, I'd be happy to share the authors and the names of the books. And I would just say realize that there's nothing more important that you're going to do in your business on a day-to-day basis and making the proper selection. And if you don't feel comfortable that you can do that within, you have the time and everything to do that within your company, that's when you should consider outsourcing.
All right, then. Jeff Fox, Smith James, Mullen Group, thank you so very much for sharing your thoughts, your expertise with us. And just ran out of time. We only got 30 minutes. We got to bring you back. Because
okay.
I had 10 more questions to ask you.
Well, I'd be happy to do it again, Ken. I really enjoy your show, and it's been a pleasure.
All right, then. So thank you very much. So that is the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in. Love to hear your comments. We'd love to hear back from you, and you tell us what you like and what you'd like to improve. Maybe you've got a subject or a topic that you'd like to find out more about. But that is the show. So my question to you guys is, what are you going to do now? What is your challenge? What are you going to do with this information? What are your next steps? Again, this is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. Stay profitable. Stay productive. And above all, go for the sale. Be extraordinary. Take care. Brian Huntley of New Wine Music, take us out.